And in our exercise of the person and ministry of the Spirit of God, and in the light of the book of Galatians, and that which is recorded of his ministry. And so, and we shared in the light of chapter 5, in particular, verse 17, that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, is opposed to, in every way, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is against the flesh. And these are contrary, in hostility, they're enemies. And these are the contrary, the one to the other, so that purpose you cannot do the things that you would. You can't do them. And tie that together with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is against the Spirit of God. Verse 18. But if, and since it's true and real, no question, if and since you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So now we have, in the looking at it, in verses 19, 20, and 21, we have 17 words that are all the works of the flesh. Something we can say, we did it. We own them. It's our work. And we can claim them. What can we claim of all the things we can't? What can we claim? We can claim the works of the flesh. And there are listed 17 in this case. And so that we, before we get into that, hang on to that and remember over in Mark, and Mark chapter 7, and tie the two together. Same thing you're looking at, just from two different windows. And in Mark chapter 7, our Lord explains it, as you remember, in eating, eating things mentally that defiles the mind, and eating things physically that go through the body. And thus, in chapter 7, picking up verse 18, he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without, from the table or whatever, entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? So you can't get loused up with something that comes in. It's something that comes out of you. So whatever goes in can make you sick and die, but it can't do any more than that. So, verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed. And then the list. Evil thoughts, idolatries, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So all of that we own. We're able to claim the people are very into idolatry, and we can claim it. They're into everything else, and we're able to say we own it. We're able to produce it, make it happen. So that's all we can boast about. We want to boast about something, and here's your list. And not many people want to boast about such things. They don't want to boast about them. they hope by just plain neglect and not thinking about it, none of them may be true, but they're all true. That's the trouble. They're all real. And then when you read that list, you say, no, I don't do that. Be careful. God will give you an occasion to show you do do it. So be careful. So say, I don't do that. Say, I'd never do that. Ever hear that? Oh, I'd never say that. I'd never do that. Well, that may be, but it's in your heart, like it or not. God said so. Thus over, back over to Galatians in chapter 5. And here are the 17 things. Now, and you'll note in the line as you read this, in between the words, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, there's no end, A-N-D. There's no end. Normally, if you put an end, then you would say, verse 20, idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance. So you stop and think. You're telling me to stop? This is an item. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. If I eliminate the ends, I go 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm telling you, I don't want you to stop. I want you to go right through and see the result. And thus, when you go 19, 20, 21, you come to the end of the 17. And you'll note, I'll even read it so you see, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past. Now, what was the whole point to get you from 1, 2, 3, 4? Pay attention. What is all of that going to do? They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the point. If you do them, you can never get to heaven. Go right through it. So, I'm going to die. Don't do that. Think about that one. Don't. Go right through any one of them. Any one of them. You can't get into the kingdom of God. Now, that's pretty serious. Now, in contrast to that, so when you come to verse 22, you have the little word but, and the conjunction but, and some buts just go from one thing to the next. This but conjunction says in a super way, super conjunction, what it means. So this but, and the arrow points with great strength, points forward, but the fruit of the Spirit, in contrast, but the fruit of the Spirit of God. And then you've got nine things with no end. And you go through them, 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against, what's the whole point? Against such things, there is no law. There isn't any. There's nothing to interfere. Nothing that can touch it. Such things are untouchable. They're awesome. So, such things. So having said that, the point, you can't get to heaven with any of them, by any of them, and the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God, is there's no way to change any. God is what he is, and there are no debates, no dialogue, no decisions. They're all wonderfully, wonderfully set in cement, eternal cement, not earthly cement, heavenly cement. You don't change it. No. God, wonderfully, wonderfully God. So, having said that, looking at that, the fruit of the Spirit, And keeping in mind, if you can, as you're looking at it, if you can, you cannot remember now. The fruit is in the word is singular, even though there's nine. It's singular. The fruit, works are in the plural. Many, many. Fruit is singular. Singular. And the ownership of the fruit doesn't belong to the person. It belongs to God. So the fruit of the Spirit of God belongs to God. There's no law. There's no way to touch it. It just belongs to God. It's holy, untouchable. And therefore, the fruit, singular, belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. And the character of God is to be experienced, is to be exercised, is to be enjoyed. Character of God. So, having said that little, saving that little bit, the fruit, singular, and in the process, and not fruits, it's not, no S, fruit. It's the person of God. So, when you're looking at God's word, and the fruit. So now you'd ask, I would think people would do, if it was normal, us humans, and I would think if I ever read that as a believer, I read it, I hear it preached, I hear it, and I read it. And some of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And then what do I think? Well, God loves me. God loves me. And God's peace, long-suffering. But I don't have much. I'm not going to go very far with it. That's what I did. God loves me. And he's long for being angry. And thank you, God. That's all wonderful things. But am I getting an understanding of what you're telling me, God? But God, you aren't helping me. I need to understand the fruit of the Spirit, singular. Well, I got the love part. What about the rest of it? Well, I don't really think about that. Whoever thinks about that? So, now, how am I going to go and get that? Well, the average, us humans, probably, I think I'm safe in saying that, aren't going to go any further with it. That's those of us who are serious, let alone not serious, we don't do anything. So, God, how am I going to get this fruit? So, God, don't you ask yourself that? I don't know. What do you do with it? You know. What do you do with it? So, God, how am I going to get the fruit? Okay. So, in the process of God, in your exercise, I need to be believing. And what am I believing? That the Spirit of God, see, he represents God. The fruit all belongs to the Spirit of God. The fruit belongs to God. So, in order for me to have the fruit, I have to have God. So, God, how am I going to have all this fruit? All this fruit. Not just love, but how am I going to have it? So, God, what are you going to do? God says, slow down and think. Fruit belongs to God. God said and tells us that God, we're to trust you. When we're trusting you and abiding in you, that we have all of you. When we have all of you, we have all of you. How do you express yourself, God, as to your attributes, as to your character? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. God said, listen, I want you to what? Abide in me. And when you abide in me and rest in my presence, you have all of me, from top to bottom. You have all of me. Every attribute I have, peace, power, joy, I want you to understand, you don't be looking, well, God, where I'm going to look for God in my prayer time, I got a problem. God, are you going to be gentle with me? No, gentle, no. I'm trusting God, who is always going to be God. He's going to be everything he is, every single second. So when I'm enjoying his love, I'm knowing his peace. There's nothing I can have that God isn't giving me in Christ all at once. I have it, the whole ball of wax. His person. And jumping ahead probably, I can't see him. God said, I don't want you to see me. And I don't want you to see me because then you get all tied up in seeing me. So you aren't going to see me anyway. So, and you tell me, God, that what you say about what it, when you had Thomas tell his hand to go into your side, the hole in your side, when you told Thomas that, and Thomas said, I know he never did it. I know Thomas never did that. He just bowed his head and said, my Lord and my God. But then our Lord said, blessed are those that can never do that. Blessed are those that can't see me. I can't see God, and neither can you. But we're in his presence, and he's in your heart, and you can't see him. And what is it? Think of 1 Peter in chapter 1. And blessed are you. You can't see him, but your joy, even though you, well, I'm going to turn there because I may have it. I may not have it right. 1 Peter. And 1 Peter in chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, trials, tests, trouble. That purpose, that the trial of your faith, putting on trial, putting to the proof, your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, you can't see him, no. And you know, in our day, Abraham wouldn't have had it quite the same way as you do, as we do. And certainly Moses, Hebrews 11. Moses, how did you endure, Moses, through all of the years, up to 40 years old, 80 years old, 120 years old? How did you ever do that, Moses? How did you ever do that? He endured seeing him who is invisible. And you can't see him, and I can't see him. And what am I learning? I'm always in his presence, and he's always in my heart, and I can never see him. And yet it's real. Now, our day, we're living in an electronic age with all kinds of everything beyond comprehension. Here's a mathematics system of 10, 10, 10, 10. And then we have what? And then we have the computer system of 10, only this time it's a 1 and a 0, a 1 and a 0. And then we go 0, 1, 0, 1, and we have all everything from what? 10, 1 and 0, 1 and 0, 1 and 0, 1 and 0. And we do what? We have all kinds of stuff going on, your smartphone and everything, able to push buttons and talk to it, and it talks to you. It does everything. You can't see a bit of what's going on, and it's everywhere. You just have to tap it in, and it's there. It's awesome. I think it's awesome. That's what I think. I'm overwhelmed with it. I'm not going back to school because I think it's too big, you see. It's awesome. In a minute, second, minute, out of everything, artificial intelligence, all this did to me, you know? Just you push in the sentence that you want and turn around and blow your nose, and there it is, it's all done. In seconds. Seconds. Awesome. We live in this world and we can't see one drop of it. Not one drop of it. You can't even see the flow of the electricity in the wire. All you can do is hold the wire and know the flow. But you can't see it. You can't see it. You're stuck. You have to believe that which you can't see. And that's why God says, I'm drifting a bit. In 2 Corinthians 4, we're dying, we're perishing inch by inch, but we endure, we last. How are we living? We're seeing the invisible. We're seeing the invisible. Now, put it to work. God, we're in your presence, wonderfully in your presence. And God, you're telling us to make sure our old nature is 1,000% against you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never quits. So God, how are we going to do it? We aren't going to fight it. Then what are we going to do? We're going to reckon. How did you tell us to deal with this old nature, which is evil? And if the old nature has even a little elbow room in my heart, apart from you, I can never enter the kingdom of God. So God, how am I going to stop this? I can't stop it. No, I did, said God. I went to the cross and died for you. I paid the penalty from the day you took your first breath to the day you take your last breath. I covered the whole thing. So Romans 6:11, as you know, reckon yourself what? Dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. I want you to enjoy what? Who I am. Therefore, the works of the flesh are dead set against, and I'm going to oppose them every step of the way. What do I want you to do? I want you to go and trust God wants us to trust him with all our heart, and God will be to us all that he is, the fruit God. God's awesome character and person, love, joy, peace, God. My joy, think of all the words now, my joy I give unto you, my peace I give unto you, my power I give unto you. You keep doing all that. Yeah. But God, why don't we just relax, said God. I want you to enjoy that there's no law, there's nothing that can interfere with the relationship. There's no such thing. That's why I want you to abide in me. Abide. That's what I want. Don't just do anything. You're free. I set you free. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. I freed you. So when it comes up, and it does, it does. Our old nature is busy, and our mind is busy 24 hours a day. But what? All of that's in my thoughts and my things, and I don't count. I thank God know, God, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to live with this? Now you know, which we've been doing in 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to look at it because I want it flashing in my head. And we read it. I don't want to just quote it. I don't want to just talk about it. I want it working. And therefore, God, what am I going to do? Remember what we read in Galatians 5. And if we walk in the flesh, we can't honor God. Yet, if we walk in the Spirit of God, you can do nothing but honor God. That's what you do 24 hours a day. You walk in the Spirit of God. So then, how am I going to walk in the Spirit of God? Well, I'm going to go and do the fruit. I'm going to try to make the fruit of the Spirit is love. I'm going to try to love. I can't try to love. I can't even duplicate that love. I can't even touch that love. It's God's love. God has to do the loving because it's God's love. It's God's peace. I don't have the peace. God's joy. I don't have the joy. I don't have the self-control. God does. God has all of this. So God, I've got to look to you and abide in your wonderful person. And now what am I going to do? But I got an old nature. Absolutely. But God has given, you know, all these things. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have test fellowship, union, communion, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what we do. Now, what you say you're doing that? Walk in the light. I'm in the light. Using this light. I'm in the light. Just walk in the light. But on me, that's right. But I'm not walking in the dark. I'm walking in the light. What's the light doing? It's helping me understand that I have an old nature, that it never quits. It's helping me be mindful of the word, and therefore, and God has died on the cross and taking me to the cross. I'm in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is taking care of all the stuff that's busy trying to fight God. So I don't have to fight it. I don't have to fight it and say, boy, I need more blood. Say, I need more. I don't need more blood. I just got to walk in the light. You know what? And God said, what? I already took care of it. I died on the cross. You're free. Now walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is doing what? Cleansing you from all sin. Then why not just let it happen? You know, God, did you wash under my arms? No. God said, I took care of it all. I took care of it. I'm covering you. You're in the light. You're resting in my person and work. And that's how I want you to do. And when you abide in me, your old works, which are contrary, don't have any power. Don't have any power. They can't touch it. They catch it. There's no law. There's no law. It can't bring up the law. It can't bring up, you got to do this, and you better be that, and you better not let that happen. You don't have that. You don't have that at all. You have God's awesome presence and person and power to do what he does, and you're resting in it. I'm not trying to fix everything. I go bananas trying to fix everything. Look, I don't have to fix anything. It's been taken care of by God when he died on the cross. I'm free. And I can lay down and be free. I don't have to figure anything out. I just need to rest in God's awesome presence and person. And God will do it. And against such, there is no law. You're going to enjoy what? You're going to enjoy fruit. You're going to enjoy fruit in a very fruitful way. How's that? God is going to be God. If God needs to spank, they'll spank us. If God needs to hug us, he'll hug us. If God needs to do whatever, he'll do it. God's going to do what he does. Thank you, God. Life gets pretty simple. But if I don't understand all this, and I got some foggy, dumb, vague understanding. And by the way, hang on, I don't want to go that fast. Verse 7, you're still in 1 John. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And remember what we said about the old sin nature? Look at the context now. You're in your old sin nature. Well, you're in the light. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we don't want to kid ourselves about anything. We don't want to, and why? Because I'm in the light. I'm walking in the light. I got an old nature. And in God, you're covering the bases. And therefore, God, if I got a problem, I goofed in the goof. God, I goofed. It's in my top of my head. My guilt. Guilt's a wonderful, wonderful vehicle to help you in your mind. Pain to help you in your body. And guilt is there. What are you going to do when you're guilty? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, we are faithful, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're back to cleaning. And God took care of it. And then God says to us, so we understand, do you understand this whole thing? Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. God said, you understand this whole thing, you better believe it and understand it and practice it. Well, then you'll make me a liar, said God, because that's how I saved you. That's how I saved you, in an awesome way. Yeah, you understanding? The fruit of the Spirit. And I try to get them, and we can do it. They're all wonderful things about God. Now, back over again. I sort of just wondering. Hope you understand. I'm trying to get you to understand my little bit of time here on earth for myself and you. Please understand how to enjoy God. Otherwise, you're just going to get information up to your eyeballs. It ain't going to do you any good if you can't practice it. Would you please tell me, if you can't enjoy it, what is the personal sense? Well, I'm going to give you my outline. Good for you. And I'm not saying it isn't true and it isn't good. But I've got to get to God. God has to get to me in what you're saying to me. Get to me, God. Help me. What we do today, that's what you should be looking for. Morning, evening, if the Lord tarries. You're looking for God to help you understand his wonderful presence and to practice it in an intelligent, biblical way. So you want sort of vague and in space, and pretty soon it won't work because if it doesn't work for you in 10 years, the 11th year you aren't too hopeful. And say, I've been 20 years, and that's why I retire. Why am I going to retire? Because I finished what I did. Why can't I retire? Because you're never finished. You have a relationship here until there. And you believe, you're a believer. How long are you a believer? Till I get my Social Security. No, you're saved. Then be saved. When does God quit? He doesn't quit that I know of, you see. That I know of. And I know you don't still, if you're playing football or in Israel over there, I know that we don't have a big victory party and we don't have a thing. A victory party and all of it, while the bombs are dropping on us. don't you want to finish the war? And then you celebrate. You finish believing, then you can celebrate. See, I'm not one for celebration. I just don't like things anyway. I don't like much anyway. Anyway, you got the idea. I'm just trying to tell you, it isn't a question of anything. You have another day, another week, believe, until I stop, till I'm done. When I'm done, I take you home and use your mind. Dear people, it's one of the dear things that happen to us, and God has to help us in all of it, and he does. But thank God, as you can think, as long as you can think and believe, exercise it. I think of Mrs. Guerin, right there, Phil, right there. Yeah. Mrs. Guerin, even if, I don't even know her now, because she's trying to be way out somewhere, you know. But in the process what? She's hanging on to the book and God, no matter. God's going to be consistent. God's going to be wonderfully consistent. And that's what he's going to be. And we thank him for it. So we just keep going till he says stop. That makes sense? Because I don't work for you. I don't work for anybody. You're in the body of Christ. We are. We honor him. We're supposed to exercise life. Back over to Galatians. And in the process, looking at Galatians, and keeping in mind, if you could, in the process, against such there is no law, as we just said. So now, having looked at that, the fruit is there to help us understand. It's in contrast to the works. So works are something we do, and fruit is something God is. So we're letting God be God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God's work, our God's work in God's way, in God's time, all that he does, the works of the flesh, are there. And we're free to exercise them with thanksgiving because Christ isn't looking. Christ died, and we reckon ourselves dead indeed under sin, Romans 6, 11, 12, 13. And we give ourselves to God to outwork his wonderful will in a most awesome way, in a wonderful, simple way. And therefore, when we do that, and we're working down the, as we go down the corridor of time, we all have our old sin nature we just read, and God, we're walking in the light, and that's what we're doing. We aren't apologizing. It's always there. Always there. So, but we're in the light, and we're trusting God and resting in God's wonderful presence, who we can't see, but I don't need to see. I can't see you. You can't see me. We only can see your body. That's all. And we can't see God, but he's there. God said he is. And God said he is. And that's what he said. He said, I'm there. I'm always in your presence. I'm always present. There is no place, there is no place that I am not. I am always everywhere. All at once, knowing everything. Think of our little exercise in prayer meeting on Ezekiel in chapter 1. He's always everywhere. And that's how Ezekiel's going to go and do the job. He has a tough job, but he's going to do the job because God is everywhere. And Ezekiel is given a vision, understanding to see God's awesome activity everywhere, all at once, everywhere. And Ezekiel can rest in that. We can rest in that. We're resting in that. So God, looking to you, we're going to do it with thanksgiving. And then what are we going to do? Well, we're buried in our old sin nature there, And look, we'll turn there just for a moment to put it to, you know, all these things, I keep saying them to you and to myself. I keep saying them because you keep putting them together, locking them in. Each time they get locked in, tighter, surer. You're surer than you were yesterday. And by the end of the day, you're surer about something, and it locks itself in. And it locked it, so you get so you're real steady, stable. So you're able to be very knowing. You're comfortable, even though everything. That's the secret, anyway, of human power. That's why yoga and all those different things try to do what? To get you to be free from yourself. But you, God helps us to be able to walk steady. But you have to grow into it. You have to learn it. And that's what you do. And as we're learning, trusting God, we don't have to see God. We're not supposed to see God. If God did that, it wouldn't be fair to the rest of us. God has to be fair. And he doesn't do that. He could. He could. And he may do something personally to us to help us. I know that. He does that to tell us all kinds of things, but not publicly. He doesn't do it. No. I want you just to trust me. Abide. That's what I want you to do, like the branch. Now, why are you I didn't get sidetracked. Why are you going to abide? The branch, the tree, why are you going to abide? That's my question. No. Here's your branch. Now, here you are. Now, where do I plug you in? Do I plug you in the Bible? Where am I going to put you in the Bible and close it? That's a good illustration. We did that 100 all the time, years and years and years and years ago. So what are you going to do? You got a problem? Take your problem and write it out, exactly what your problem is, and give it to God. But because we don't have the prayer of thanksgiving, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, we don't do that. So we give it to God, and then we take God, and then we put it back in our pocket to carry it some more. What have I got to do? I got to get to the prayer of thanksgiving, where I give it to God and leave it. So then what do we say? What to do is take what you wrote down and put it in your Bible and close it. And say, where is your problem? You want to find your problem. Where is it? It's in your Bible. And you have to turn to find it. Where is your problem? In God's Word. Drop it back in there. And trust Him. Trust it. It's a little illustration. So you trust Him. You're trusting God. So, and having said that, I forgot when I was going to go in the process. 10 things all popping up at once. Now, anyway, so in the process, God, you're going to go and do what you do in the way that you do it. So we're going to go and trust you to do it, and therefore we're going to work out Philippians, I started to say. Over to Philippians 2 again. Oh, I started to say abide. Hang on to the Philippians. Abide. How am I going to abide? I don't want to immediately leave that in the air. How am I going to abide? Why are you to abide? Because why? Christ in you, what did God do? What does the Spirit of God do? Think of all the things we did with the Spirit of God's ministry, one of which is to baptize us and immerse us into the wonderful work of Calvary's cross, and God's going to go, and he took us to the cross and died, was buried and rose again, and seated at the right hand of God. God, you did that for me. How is all of that immediately real? Because God baptized you. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, etc. He placed you in the body of Christ in a wonderful way. the minute you received him as your Savior. That's why you're safe, because you're no more out here. You're in his body. You are his. You are personally, directly related to God in Christ in you. Therefore, abide. You don't have to, you're out here. When you get saved, God put you in here. Now let's say, abide, abide, abide. That's what you do. Why can I abide? You had better abide, because you're supposed to abide. You're in the body. Your body is harmonizing with your head. Most of you, isn't it? Your brain's there. It isn't your pancreas that's giving you into, well, how to move your muscles. It's your brain moving all of the wonderful information it gets by the ton. Every single second gets information. And yet, what are you doing? You're exercising. Therefore, abide. Why am I going to abide? Because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. That's why I'm to abide. When I abide, I'm resting in what? The fruit of the Spirit. The branch can only enjoy by abiding, the benefit of abiding, which is the leaves and the fruit. And as it abides, it's going to produce the fruit. That's what it's going to do. And the fruit belongs to whom? God. It doesn't belong to you. The fruit of the Spirit is God's. It doesn't belong to you. It never belonged to you. It belongs to God. God is giving you the what? When you get saved, the privilege of enjoying his life. It's his life that you're enjoying. You're going to enjoy that forever. God meant you. He created you his image and likeness to enjoy it forever. You're a son. That's why God's going to bless you. Because his son is in you. And in the same instance, you're baptized and God has placed you in his son in me, said God. When I see you, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why you're blessed with heavenly blessings. That's why you've got it all. Because you have it in Christ now. Not because of you or me. Because of his wonderful presence. That's why you've got it. And all of this is so simple and wonderful that God, who created us and gave us his word and died on the cross and gave us his word, so that what? We could be believing. And believing, we could be receiving. And receiving, we can be believing and enjoy God's wonderful life. Philippians chapter 2. As you know. So therefore, we wonderfully, eagerly, without any debate, are going to do what? Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, Philippians 2:12, as you know. Wherefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what are we going to do? We're going to be believers, abiding believers, abiding believers, abiding. That's what we're going to do. And that's what we're going to do. God will keep his mind in perfect peace. Who's resting on him? I'm trusting God. You're trusting God. And you're abiding. And that's what you're going to do. And so you're going to work it out. Therefore, you go and eat and drink and do whatever you have to do. Do it all to the glory of God. trust in God. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, Colossians. Do it all. Do all these things. And you enjoy your relationship. And so God, so I'm not going to count on my old nature. I'm going to walk in the light so that I'm free. Otherwise, I'm not free. I'm not free. I'm free in the light. I'm free. You couldn't say anything to disturb my relationship, which is, where is your relationship? It's centered in the person of Jesus Christ, God himself. God has made the relationship possible by way of his son. You believed on his son. God placed you in his son. So when God looks at his son, he sees you. And that's why you're blessed. That's why our Father, Ephesians 1:3, you are blessed with what? God said, all of the resources of my holy, happy heaven are at your command. Not on earth, all of heaven. God, do we need 12 like you did? 12 legions of angels? If you did, I'd have them. If you did. But you don't. You don't. You have the whole armor. Remember what we're doing in the evening? Put on the armor of God. Remember, you know, you have it. You have it there. Remember what we did in the evening? Put on the whole armor. Whole armor of God. That's what you're going to do. And God's going to go and put it all together. But when it's all done, it was a simple, wonderful relationship in the light of all the books of God's, all of the Bible. What do we know? I want you to know me and my son by way of Calvary's cross. I want you to abide in my wonderful presence, my presence in you and your presence in me. I want you to abide. That's what I want you to do. I in you. And you and me, and my Father, that's what I want. It's not hard. Not hard. It's awesome, simple. That's why a little kid, little boy, a girl, doesn't know anything compared to what you got, what we could know. But that little boy or girl can just thank God. Thank you, God. That's what you did when you were little, maybe. You thank God. Do you know God was very much as he is now? He always was. All he wanted was my trust to let him be who he is. That's all. That's all he wanted. And stop being me. I don't need to. God doesn't need my brains or my intellect or my IQ, whatever that is, whatever you understand. God doesn't need any of that. No, he just wants you to enjoy a wonderful relationship that he has made possible. I got to quit in Christ. We didn't get very far. I just sort of talked. Galatians will last forever at this rate. Well, we'll get there. Anyway, thank you. Thank you very much. Hope you got a little bit.